thank you very much. Y'all gonna have children's church? If y'all gonna have children's church, you're dismissed to go to children's church. I guess so. We don't have a special this morning. We usually do, but we'll not have it today. If you take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of 2 Peter, chapter number 1. 2 Peter, chapter number 1. The writer of 1 and 2 Peter would be the Apostle Peter, who walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. And writing to us on Christian service. And I'm going to read for you about 10 verses there. And I'm going to take one of those thoughts from verse number 3. So we begin reading in verse number 1. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. It'd be those who are saved like you are, and they have obtained the same kind of faith that Peter had. It's called like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse number 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And verse number 5 says, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. If you didn't count them there, there's seven things that you're to add to your faith. Verse number 8, for if these things, that is these things that he just mentioned, be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Now, when he says fall there, he's not talking about falling out of salvation. You can't do that, but you could fall from your place of steadfastness, or you could fall from your place of service. That's what he's talking about. Amen? So let us pray, and then we'll go on. Father, we ask your blessing upon this time this morning. I pray that you'd add your blessing to the reading of your holy words, and I pray that you'd help me, Father, this morning, and Lord, help these things to be a help and a blessing to your people today. And I pray the Spirit of God would help us and be our teacher and enlighten us, please. And thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to give you some things. I'm going to tell you some things that most of you already know this morning. But the Bible says that we are to do that. It says down in verse number 12. Look at verse 12. Wherefore, Peter says, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them. See? So we don't always have to find out something brand new every time we come together. But actually, I do always try to teach you something new. I don't always succeed. I probably will not be able to this morning. I was telling some of the fellow men there that I was gone so much this week. My wife and I go to different places and for graduation and hospital doctor and a wedding and all that kind of stuff, and I didn't get to do what I usually did. It messed up my routine, and when it messes up my routine, then it messes me up. And so you pray for me this morning. I'll try to preach for you, do the best I can, okay? I always pray, and I was telling the people in Sunday school, I always appreciate the mercy of God. Because I can always tell God, Lord, I messed up today, but I'll try to do better next time. So see, that's the way it is. What I want to talk to you this morning is this. God has made provision for us all to be saved and to be blessed and to be fruitful. God, our Creator, who created all things, not only made us, but then He became flesh and became our Savior. You know that God, our Creator, became our Savior. God Almighty became flesh. That's who that was hanging on the cross there 2,000 years ago. That was God in a man's body. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:16 that God was manifest in the flesh. He said in John 1 and verse number 14 that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So if you want to see God, then you look at Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John 14 and verse number 9, Jesus said, if you've seen me, then you've seen the Father. That's all of God we're ever going to see. That's all of God people are ever going to see down here. So I want to talk to you this morning about the phrase where it says in verse number 3, it says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. What He is saying there is this, that God has given us everything that we need to live a godly life. He's given us everything that we need to do that. If it has to do with life and it has to do with godliness, then God has given it to us. He has provided it for us. He's provided it for you if you're saved here this morning. The Bible says in John chapter 10 and verse number 10, Jesus said this. He says, for the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. We're talking to a young man last night in the jail, and we gave him this verse. I told this young man, I said, you know, I'm sure if you had your choice, you wouldn't be here tonight. You wouldn't be locked up in jail. And you know what? God doesn't want that for you either. God has something better for you. But I said, maybe you could spend your time at least profitable while you're here. If you'll get a Bible and you'll make some good decisions, then God can help you. And maybe you won't come back here and you can use this maybe to help other people see. But you see, God did not lock this man up, whatever he did. That's what caused him to be locked up, see. God has something good for us. He said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, see. That's what Jesus said. Now, on the other hand, the thief, the devil, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. If you give the devil a foothold in your life, he'll come in. And you know what? The devil can go to God and he can ask God, he can get permission from God to come into your life and to steal and to destroy and to kill. He can do that, you see, if God allows him to do that, just like he did for Job. Here's Job in the book of Job. Job's the best man alive at that time on the earth. But he went to God and God said, hey, have you considered my servant Job? And God gave him permission to take a lot of things away from him, you see. But the devil can do that. But God wants something better for us. And if it pertains to life and godliness, God has made it possible. He's given us everything that we need to live a Christian life for Him. See, He's given us the help that we need. So I want to talk to you from that phrase there where it says that He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. These things come to us, the things that He's given to us, come to us in the form of promises. Look in verse number 4. Verse number 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. There's promises in the Bible. We sing that song, Standing on the Promises. We ought to do that. We should not just sing about it, but we should also look at the promises that God has given to us. Sometimes when I, last couple of years, I've been to the doctor quite a few times, and the doctor, they always ask you these questions, you know. You thinking about suicide, or you thinking about harming yourself or anything like that? I said, no, I have said it before. I said, no, I've got a Bible, and I read it, so I don't have to think about those kinds of things, you see. Amen. You find some promises in the Bible, you see. There are real promises that God has given to us. And he says, God has given to us exceeding great and precious promises. So God has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. I only have 2 points this morning. He's given us everything for godliness, and he's given us everything for growth. He wants us to grow in the Christian life. So first off, God has given us life. He's given us life. Brother Diaz, he always gives a word of testimony whenever we go into the jail. He tells about how things that happened to him in his past life and how he overcame these kinds of things. And I tell these men that we talk to in the jail, I said, look, there's a reason why. I'm not talking about the reason why the things happened to Brother Diaz, but I'm talking about why that he was able to overcome these things that happened to him in his life. You know why? Because he has something on the inside. When you get saved, God gives you life on the insides, you see. The Bible says that your spirit is made alive. That's what salvation is. Salvation is not just keeping a bunch of rules. That's not what salvation is. It's not just doing a bunch of things, but it's life on the inside, you see. Whenever I got saved way back there in 1970, then God gave me a new life on the inside of me, see. The Bible says my spirit, your spirit, was brought to life whenever you got saved, and you have something on the inside of you. You're alive unto God. You're not just dead spiritually any longer, and you're alive unto God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1, it says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Let me ask you, is that your case this morning? Have you been made alive? Have you been made alive unto God? See, that's the most important thing, that you are alive spiritually. You're alive spiritually. He has given us life. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, that's life on the inside, and you have it right now. Some people, they think they're going to wait until they die to get eternal life. No, you got to get it now. If you wait until you die to think you're going to get eternal life, you're going to miss out. You don't get it after you die. You get it now. You get it the day. You get it the moment that you get saved. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He gives you eternal life as a gift right then. And it's yours. It's inside of you. It's in a person, and that person is Jesus, you see. And you get Him, and you've got eternal life. You don't wait until you die to find out. People have this crazy idea that whenever they die, they're going to stand before God, and God's going to put their good deeds over here on this side, like on a scale, and He's going to put their bad deeds over here on this side on a scale. And if the good deeds outweigh the bad deeds, then God's going to let them in. It doesn't work that way at all. Brother, the Bible says we're already condemned. People are already on their way to hell. They don't have to commit any more sins. They're already condemned. But when you get saved, God gives you eternal life right then, and He wipes out all of the sin. So God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How are you going to live a Christian life? Well, He's given you new life on the inside. And that life is in the person and in the form. That life is in the form of a person, Jesus Christ. Whenever you got saved, God Almighty shined a light into your heart. He shined a ray of light into your heart and brought you to life. It was that same life. It was that same light that shined in Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 3, where God said, let there be light. That light, that's not sunlight. That's light from God, and He shines it into your heart and brings you to life, you see. Last night, talking about the jail again, the young man that we're talking to, we pray that a ray of light shined in his heart. And he got saved sitting there. As far as that goes, a pretty good young man. He's only, he's young. He's very young. And he's religious. He believes in God. And he said, I'm very interested in the things of God and all that kind of stuff, you see. But he knew something, that he'd been dunked in the water, but he didn't know anything about being saved. Look here, you got to get a foundation laid first. You got to get Jesus Christ, and then you can build on the foundation, see. I wish I could see these people again. I wish I could see them. I wish I could spend hours with them talking to them and teaching them the things of God, but I may not. I may never see them again. There's a good possibility that I won't if they're not from Portales, you see. But at least if we can get the foundation laid, if they're sincere in their heart, then, and they all seem to be, don't they, Brother D? They all seem like, I always think everybody's sincere, you know. I'm real gullible. People tell me, oh, yeah, I believe it and all that. Well, I'm real gullible. You know, I just believe what they say, and sometimes they don't always act like it. But hey, what do I know? You know, all I'm just a messenger boy. I'm just telling them what the Lord told me to tell them. So you see, the thing that God has given you so that you can live a Christian life, all things that pertain unto life and godliness, the first thing he's given you is eternal life on the inside. And that way is to help you. Whenever you fall down, you can get back up. Whenever you're disappointed, you can get over it, you see, because you have some help on the inside. Whenever somebody's bad to you, you can get over it. You can brush it off. Whenever things happen, you have troubles and trials and tribulation, and that's a part of life. You have all of these kinds of things, then you can get over it, and you can overcome these things. Just get out on your knees and ask God to help you, and He'll help you, although you can't see it. But it'll come to you in ways that you never expected. Help will come to you in ways that you don't understand, you see. God will help you. And if you've got Jesus Christ living on the inside of you, then you've got the thing that you need. So, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Number one, He's given you eternal life. Number two, He's given you a book. We had in our Sunday school this morning, back in Israel, the temple of God was decayed. And it was in disrepair. They had a young king, became king when he's 8 years old, Josiah. Whenever he was 16 years old, he began to seek after God, the Bible says. And then after that, after he destroyed all the idols in the countryside, then they went into the house of God, into the temple of God, and they began to clean it up and repair it. And lo and behold, what they found in the temple of God was a book. And it was there, the book of God, right inside the temple of God. They hadn't been reading it. It was lost, and they found it. They began to read that book, you see. There's a lot of people, they've got books in their houses. They've got Bibles in their houses, but they don't read them. They don't know anything about them. They know maybe it's the book of God, but they pay no attention to it. There's a lot of churches. They may have a Bible somewhere, but they don't preach the Bible, you see. They don't preach the Bible. Look, for you to live a Christian life, God has given you the Bible, the Holy Bible. We believe the King James Bible. He's given us that book, see. And we're to read that book, and we're to get something from it. We don't know anything if we don't have a Bible. We don't know what God wants us to do without a Bible. That is the key to the Christian life. Just very simple things. Very simple things. It's not hard to live a Christian life. Just do a few simple things. Read your Bible, pray, come to church, fellowship with Christians. Love God. That's not hard. You can do it without a computer. You don't have to have an iPhone. You don't have to be on the internet. You don't have to have a new car. You don't have to have a fancy house. You don't have to have any of that kind of stuff. All you need is a Bible. Pray. Do simple things like that, you see. Y'all mind if I pull my coat off? Might preach a little bit here in a minute. Amen. Y'all remember that story about David and Goliath? David and Goliath. Who won the battle between David and Goliath? Do y'all know who won the battle? Y'all do, don't you? David won the battle. But how did David win the battle? You know how he won it? With simple weapons. He had a pouch right here, and he had a slingshot in his hand, and he had five smooth stones in that pouch. And he put one of those things in a sling, and he killed the giant with it. Simple weapons. That's how you live the Christian life, with simple things. It's not complicated. It's not hard, you see. Just the Bible. Just praying. Just coming to church. Just doing what's right. It's not hard. God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He has equipped you. He has equipped you to be able to live a Christian life, you see. He's made it possible for you. Let me tell you something. The moment that you got saved, God was equipping you to live a Christian life. You didn't have everything that you needed, but at least it was possible to live a Christian life. The moment that you got saved. Let me go on. Number one, God has given you eternal life. Life on the inside. He's equipped you. Number two, He's given you a Bible. He's given you a Bible so that you can live a Christian life. See, He's got things in there. He's got instructions for in there. You say, I read it and I don't understand it. There's plenty of stuff in there that you can understand. That'll keep you busy for a whole lifetime. Just the simple things in there will keep you busy for a whole lifetime. Amen. You know what else He's given you? He's given you the Spirit of God on the inside of you. He's given you the Holy Spirit of God to live inside of you, to help you. He has equipped you so that you can live a Christian life. He says, God hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So therefore, He's given us eternal life. Number two, He's given us the Bible. He's given us the Holy Spirit who will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. You say, what if I do something wrong? He still ain't going to leave you. Right. He's not going to leave you. It doesn't matter where you go, what you do. If you're saved, the Spirit of God, He's never going to leave you. You say, what if I do something really bad? He still ain't going to leave you. I can explain to you why He won't. But it's because of a thing called spiritual circumcision. When you got saved, He cut your soul on the inside of your body loose from your body, and then He moved inside of your soul His Spirit. The Spirit of God lives inside of your soul, and His Spirit is joined to your spirit. And it can't be reversed. There are things that happen when you got saved that cannot be reversed. That's why you can't lose your salvation. Amen. You say, well, I did something really bad. If you're saved, you're still a child of God. You may be a disobedient child of God. We all may be disobedient children of God at times, but He'll forgive you. He'll forgive you. See, my verse, Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So God has given you. He's given you eternal life on the inside of you. He's made your spirit alive. Number two, He's given you a book. He's given you the Holy Bible to read. You see, God Almighty is not walking around on the earth shouting out directions and telling people what to do. He's not doing that. Now, He's up in heaven. Jesus Christ is not walking around down on the earth now, telling and preaching, telling people what to do. He's not doing that. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. We don't have Old Testament prophets like they did then. We don't have that. We got New Testament preachers and all that, but they got to have a book. Amen. They got to have a book, see. So He's given you these things. Number four, He's given you the church. That's why people ought to come to church. People think they can just go if they want to, or they don't have to. Well, you can, but there's consequences. Look, Jesus Christ established a church. Whenever He left and He ascended back to heaven, He left a church. In Acts chapter number 1, there are 120 people there. Of that church, and from then on, there's a church on the earth. There may be some bad ones. There may be some bad ones. It's up to you to find the right one that believes the Word of God, see. Amen. So you see, God has given us these things. He's equipped us. He's equipped us. He's made it possible for us to live everything that pertaineth unto life and godliness. He's given it to us. Now let's go. So number one, I said my first point is this, that God has given us all things that pertaineth, number one, to life and godliness. Godliness, number two, is growth. I want to talk to you now about growth. about growing. Because see, when you get saved, that's great. But God doesn't want you to stay that way. He doesn't want you to stay just saved and not go any further than that. See, let me give you an illustration. Since this is a Memorial Day, supposed to be for those who have given their life, and we had the people who were in the service. On November the 2nd, 1965, my wife and I had been married 2 months. 2 months. We moved from where we were living, moved back to Portales, because they were just about to draft me. And I thought, see, this is back when they had the draft in the Army, you know, you had to go. I decided if I'm going to have to go in the Army, then I'm going to choose what I want to do. I'm going to choose what I want to do. So I went down to the basement of Brother Fogg. I went down the basement of the courthouse. There was an Army recruiter down there, and I talked to him. And he said I could get what I wanted if I passed the test. So then it was up to me. But then I went home. I can't remember if I signed any papers or not, but I went home and told my wife I'm leaving. I'm leaving tomorrow. When I went down there, I said, I'll be about two weeks. I'm going to take 2 weeks before I go, but something changed. When I came home, I told my wife I'm leaving tomorrow in the morning. So I got on a bus with a few other guys, and we went to Amarillo, Texas. And I raised my right hand over there, and I said that I swear, promise that I will defend the United States of America and the Constitution of the United States. I signed on the dotted line, and guess what? I'm in. I am now in the United States Army. But I don't know anything. I'm in the Army, but I don't know anything. I don't know how to salute. I don't know I don't know what an officer is. I don't know what a lieutenant is. I don't know what a private is. Private E1. I don't know anything. I don't know anything. I don't even know my serial number. RA1871-6314. I don't even know that. I got on a bus and we went to some airport somewhere. I got on one of these crazy DC-3 planes that sits down in the back. I got on that, and they flew us to Fort Polk, Louisiana. And when I got there, my ears are ringing. They've been ringing ever since. Really, I mean, my ears are ringing right now, and they've been ringing ever since. And I got out there, and from that time on, I was standing in some line somewhere. And they started giving me green clothes. They're called fatigues. That's because they make you tired. They start giving me fatigues. They give me black boots. They give me a pot to wear on my head. And they give me all kinds of things. You see, you know what they're doing? They're equipping me to serve in the United States Army. Look, folks, when you get saved, you're in the Lord's Army. But God don't want you to just stay saved. He wants you to grow in the faith. You see, He wants you to be profitable to Him. At that time in my life, I was not profitable to the United States Army. I didn't know anything. I was an expense to them. They had to feed me. I had to learn to run in the mess hall, see. Shove it down, you know, and get on out, see. Then I had to learn how to do KP. I had to learn all of these kinds of things. They're equipping me to be a soldier in the United States Army. I signed on the dotted line. I was in. When you get saved, you sign on the dotted line. You said yes to Jesus. You accepted Him as your Savior. You're in. But God wants you to grow then. He wants you to grow up and be a Christian. He wants you to grow up. He wants you to be a prophet to Him. The Bible says one day there will be a day of reckoning. He's going to figure out and see if you did right, if you served Him right, if you got rewards coming and all that kinds of things, you see. Amen? Anyway, I went on. I learned how to do all kinds of things, you see. Finally, after 2 years, finally after going to Fort Eustis, Virginia, going and sitting in classrooms, then going to Fort Benning, Georgia, sitting in classrooms, learning how to fly on a helicopter, going to Fort Knox, flying all around there for 2 years. I did all that. Then the last year they sent me somewhere else, you see. Had to get equipped, all these kinds of things. I had to grow into an E5. See, I started out as an E1, a private E1, a slick sleeve. But when I got out, I'm a I'm a spec five. We call them a spec five, you see. You see, they do all these things. They teach you all things so you can be a prophet to the United States Army. God wants us to be a prophet, profitable to Him. He wants us to be His servants, you see. When you first get in, you first get saved, you don't know anything. But you at least have the capability of learning and becoming a profitable servant. You'll notice in verse number 5, I believe it is there, He said, beside all this, I want you to add some things to your faith. Verse number 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. And He gives you 7 things to add to your faith. You see, beside all this, be diligent. Look, folks, be diligent in your Christian life. Be diligent. It's important that you be diligent in your service to God, whatever it is, something big, something little. We sang the song this morning, little is much when God is in it. It's all important, see. He says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Okay, so you got saved, so you got faith. You got faith. Now you got saved by faith in Jesus Christ. But now then He wants to add to that faith, see. He wants you to grow in the faith, see. Just like I was telling you in the Army, they began to give me all kinds of things. They're adding to the fact that I signed on the dotted line. Now they're adding things to me to help me to be a good soldier. Help me to be a soldier anyway, whether or not I was a good one. Beside all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. And the first thing He says is virtue. Virtue is purity. Virtue is purity. See, what He's saying there is this, that we ought not, all of us are sinners, but we ought not to be doing the same kinds of things that we did before we were saved. That's called repentance. We ought not to be doing things that would bring reproach or whatever upon the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because we're children of God. Like that fella that we talked to last night in the jail. Before we left, I said, now you got saved, now you're a child of God, so do your best. Don't come back in here, see. Don't come back in here. God has equipped you. Now you don't have to come back in here. So live for God, see. If people will fill up their life with good things and let these old people, these people that get them in trouble, man, drop off. Amen. Drop off, see. You start witnessing to them, they'll quit. They'll quit coming around you, see.
That's right.
They'll quit coming around you. You don't have to worry about it. They'll quit coming around you. So He says the first thing, add to your faith virtue, purity. See, and then the next thing He says, and then to virtue, He says knowledge. That's number 2, knowledge. That is what we're talking about a while ago, the Bible. Learn something about God. Learn something about God. That's knowledge. That's knowledge of God. Knowledge of God. And then He says, and to knowledge temperance. I'll skip over that real fast because that's my problem, see. And to temperance patience. See, that's another problem of mine, so we'll skip over those, okay? Not really. Those are some things that always give me problems, see. Temperance, that's like self-control, not yielding to the flesh. Temperance, see. See, that's a big problem. And patience, see. Lord, help me to have patience. In other words, help me to be willing to wait for the right things to come along, you see. And instead of not jumping out there and thinking I've got to stick my foot out there and do everything all the time. These are things that you are supposed to add to your faith. Is virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and then godliness. Godliness, that's an ordered Christian life, you see. People need to have some order in their life. Some order in their life, and they need to have, you know, there are people all over the country, they don't, I hope I don't step on your toes, but maybe you need it, I don't know. But you know, people, their homes are not, they're not disciplined. Their kids just, you know, go everywhere. They never sit down and have a meal at home at the table. You see, talk to their children, talk to their kids and things like that. And, you know, they'll be in one room and the kids will be, you know, all of that kind of stuff. Look, your kids need discipline. They need structure. And that's what that's talking about, godliness, a structured Christian life, you see. They need to know what's right. They need to know what's wrong. They need to know if they break the rules, they get a spanking, see. I'm going to count to 10, you know, and then when you count to 10 and they still don't do it, well, I'm going to count to 5 this time, they still don't do it. And go. See, they know you don't mean business. They know you don't mean business. You got to mean business. That's what you call tough love. That's what that means, you see, tough love. Your kid's not supposed to run your house. You're supposed to run your house. God gave those kids to you, or God gave you to those kids to teach your, to teach them. You're not supposed to say, y'all just pick whatever religion you want. No, you don't do that. You're supposed to teach them the right thing. Amen. You're supposed to teach them the truth, see? That's what you're there for, to teach them the truth. Not just pick and choose something out there. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it, see? Man, you got to work hard at it. You got to work hard at it. Otherwise, as soon as they're out of school, then zip, they're gone, you see. You got to work hard at it. Man, you got to work at it day and night. You got to be serious about that thing, see. Godliness, verse number 7, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. So we could all use a little bit of brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. That's helping other people, see. Love with shoes on. Now look, I'm going to close up here. In verse number 8, it said, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren. See, you won't be barren nor unfruitful. And then number 9, you won't be blind. See, you won't be barren and you won't be blind. But he that lacketh these things is blind. He cannot see afar off and hath forgotten he is purged from his old sin. Can you imagine that? Somebody forgot that they were purged from their own sin. They forgot they're saved. They don't even know about it. Somebody can get saved, and if they're not around somebody, just think about yourself. Just think about yourself. Whenever you got saved, what if you had nobody to help you out? What if you had nobody to encourage you? See, would that have made a difference? Would you still been saved? Yeah, you'd have still been saved, Art, if you got saved. So you won't be blind, but he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, see, these things that we just talked about, ye shall never fall. He is not talking about falling out of salvation. He's talking about falling from a place of service. You can be faithful. You can stay in there. And when you fall down, you can get up. You can get back up, see. Whenever you have problems, you can overcome those problems. That's what life is. Life is a series of problems. Problems and trials and tribulations. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads, please.